This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and special guest host Dave Hughes. Don't miss a massive 30% off the entire Best Sheds range. Inquire now at bestsheds.com.au. The only thing better than two mates at a Sunday session is three mates at a Sunday session.
We could be the three best friends that anyone could have.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB, Billy and special guest host Dave Hughes.
I feel good!
Hughesy, we like to have fun on this show, but sometimes we need to straighten up because we've got an AFL head honcho in the house.
We certainly do, JB. AFL GM of footy, Laura Kane, will join us. I'm sure she hears a lot of friendly advice about the umpiring. And speaking of which, I need to talk to you about the umpires at my son's basketball game last week.
Well, I think we all need to just exercise a little patience with the officials, Hughesy, but patience is something I don't have a lot of. We'll talk about that soon.
And next, footy news breaker Damo, Damien Barrett, is in our studio with us, and he's got some info on a massive media stoush that involves someone in this room, and it ain't me or Rabs.
Oh, who is it then? I never have a stoush with anybody.
Don't go too far away. There's plenty more of the Rush Hour Sunday session with JB, Billy and Hughesy still to come.
I feel good!
This is Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session with JB, Billy and Dave Hughes. Damien Barrett is in the studio with us, and Damo, a potential media feud has caught your eye.
Hughesy, we in the media love a feud, don't we? Well, I certainly do anyway, on the journalistic side of it.
Yeah.
And I raise that because I think we've now got one right in front of us involving one of our own.
It's like in the schoolyard when you hear there's a fight, you gather around and you go fight, fight, fight.
So quick setup to this one. Quick setup to this one. Which
the interesting bit of this feud is I don't know what you're about to play.
Well,
I'm not involved in a feud that I'm involved in.
Ed said some things about your club, your North Melbourne Football Club, of which you were chairman of for 9 seasons and safe.
10, yes.
That you didn't like. 10, sorry, I undersold you there. That you didn't like. And you had just a little go back at him on Talking Footy last week when you said, name him, Ed. When you say people are saying North Melbourne should go out of the competition.
Yeah, presidents.
Now, I thought it was a good response. Ed, though, today he does a podcast with Jimmy Bartel, and it's unfolded this way.
So James Brayshaw, he was quite
defensive, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a little bit angered.
They are a club that has at least twice, and I think three times, tried to get a merger up. They have changed their name away from North Melbourne. They have had unsuccessful forays into Canberra, into Sydney, turned it back on the Gold Coast, and into Tasmania. So at some stage, the competition says, enough with the no, and give me a yes somewhere where you're actually going to say, yes, I will cook dinner. There are plenty of presidents of clubs who do not want 19 teams.
He wants you to name names.
I'm not going to name names.
I have to ask the question.
Do I agree with them? No. Have I argued against them? Yes.
Oh. So my point is, and it's not just Ed, Garrow loves doing it too. They just have this catch-all phrase of, well, I've spoken to presidents. And once you say that sentence, you can then say whatever you want because you don't have to prove that you've spoken to anybody.
Look at his body language here.
So all I say,
look at Jim.
Same as what I say to Caro and anyone else that used that sentence is, name them, Bob.
What about
as the great Sam Newman used to tell us that story about Bob Morrow in the Geelong Rooms? Name him. Just put a name to them. So if there's a
Brayshaw versus Maguire, it's on.
If there's a president that doesn't want North Melbourne in the competition, just tell us who it is.
Well,
because I guarantee you, finish on this, I guarantee you, if they do give that person's name out, and then Mitchie Cleary, our man, the Maasai warrior, wanders up with a camera and a microphone and says, my understanding is you don't want North, but they would go, oh, no, that wasn't me that said that.
But Ed did say then he doesn't agree with these presidents who want North Melbourne to merge or relocate. Do you believe that Ed?
Yes.
I always thought
Ed was very pro the Melbourne clubs.
Yes. So Ed does want North Melbourne to stay in North Melbourne?
Oh, absolutely. No, I have no issue with Ed on that front. The only issue I have with anyone is this sentence of, I know presidents. Well, who are they, Purple?
Mm. Look, I get myself in those conversations too, but I know what you're saying, that there would not be one person prepared to put his or her name to the death of a football club. We went down that path in 1996.
And the AFL Commission and the administration have said ever since that will never happen again.
They have said
while we have the money we've got in the game, there is no chance we'll allow an establishment club not to exist.
And also North Melbourne, they don't have debt. Is that fair to say?
No debt.
Jim got rid of that.
And that's there's, good. There's other clubs, you don't have to name them, there's other clubs who do have debt.
Oh, some have got a hell of
St Kilda's got a horrendous debt, if you want to name them.
I'll name them. Name them, Bob.
Hang on, Bob. Damo's happy to name them. Anyway, we move on from that. You know as well as I do that Ed and I don't have any issue, but I like to just keep people
honest. I did see your body language, though, just stiffen up. Your body just went really tight.
Oh, yeah, there's veins.
Yes.
Veins in your neck I hadn't seen before.
I like it. Good.
I liked it too.
Righto.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host Dave Hughes.
I'm wearing pants, which is obviously I'm overdressed for this.
Wow.
You guys are so relaxed.
Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X at Triple M Rush Hour.
I like to think that most of the qualities you're meant to have as a man, I tick the boxes. Compassionate, loving, caring, but Huey. There's one
humble,
thing I'm not
humble.
Yes, humble. Humble.
Put that in of course. You're just going to let all that slide.
I didn't actually need to put that one in. But I'm happy to put my hand high and say that one thing I'm not good at is patience.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm a very impatient person.
Yeah.
And I think as I get older, I'm getting worse.
Fair enough.
So what I'm asking 133353 style for the family members is what pushes your impatience button hardest? Don't get me started on the lifts here, by the way. There's only how many floors?
Six
floors, four lifts, and you're waiting 8 minutes for the bloody lift every time you're trying to get into it. But I'm not.
You can't even use the stairs, can you?
No stairs.
You can't use the stairs.
So you're buggered.
No. Open the stair door and the fire alarm goes off. You just want to get a bit of exercise.
Exactly right, yeah. Husey. But I'm not going with that one. That's too easy. That's low-hanging fruit. But I tell you what I do. I have to check into a lot of hotels because obviously we – summer and winter with the cricket and the footy, you travel a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't get why, when you're waiting behind someone who's checking in, you're still waiting 10 minutes later. It's like two keys.
What?
And hand them over. What the hell else is going on that can facilitate a 10-minute conversation between the person behind the jump and the person checking in?
I absolutely agree with you. On the subject of travel as well, I've got a couple more.
Go on.
Rental cars. How long do you wait for the keys when you're hiring a car? It can take an hour. What are they doing?
Exactly.
Just give us the keys.
Hand the keys over.
Point me to the direction of the car and I'll find it. Why so long?
I don't know.
Don't upselling me insurance. Are they upselling everyone insurance on the
car? I'm with you. 133353, what pushes your impatience button hardest? Brad from Melbourne. Hello, Brad.
Gents, button pushed. What do people do when they come out of the servo shop and get in their car? What are they doing?
Instead of driving off.
Get on their phone, yeah.
No, what do they do? They do everything but turn the ignition, put your seatbelt on and go.
Yeah.
Like, come on, go.
What about when you've got your nozzle and you want to put it in the thing and the guy inside doesn't press the button?
So
there's nothing going on. Mate, what are you doing in there? Look out, I'm here and I'm ready to squirt into the car, but you're not giving me the chance.
Greg and Lara. Hello, Greg.
Yes, g'day, guys.
There we are, mate. We got you. What pushes your impatience button?
It would have to be when you ring up to pay a bill or make changes and they say to you, we're just going to put you on hold for a minute.
Oh,
and 1 minute is like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And then they come back to you and the phone disconnects.
Yeah. Oh, no. And then you try and get their name. So can I have your name so that if this disconnects, I can ring you back? No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not giving you my name. You're just going to have to go to the back of the queue and start again.
And when you get angry at them, they act like, you know, you're doing the wrong thing.
which you probably are.
Yeah.
Greg, stay there. Craig in East Ringwood. Hello, Craig.
Yeah, g'day, guys. JB Husey. What pushes my buttons is when a 60-year-old goes to buy a straight leg pair of Levi's in a shopping centre, and every person in front of you is dawdling along looking at their phones, and it takes you 10 to 15 minutes longer to get the Just Jeans than it should.
And you're a traditional guy with traditional straight leg jeans. What do you think
Absolutely.
About these? What about these young people who've got baggy jeans? What do you think of them?
Oh, well, I've got three daughters, each to their own.
So he's not an unreasonable man.
The earphone things are driving me mad too, AirPods, because they're not. The spatial awareness evaporates.
Yeah,
Southland or Chadstone, They just walk straight across your line because they don't know you're there. They've got their AirPods in.
Mate, I was driving home from the show the other night down Murray Street, and a young woman's on her phone, just didn't even look up. Yeah. I had to slam the brakes on. I honked the horn. She looks up and annoyed at me because I've disturbed her YouTube watching. You're in the middle of the road. I could have run her over.
Oh, I like it. Oh, where are we going now? Aaron in Traralgon. Hello, Az.
How you going?
What pushes your impatience button?
What pushes my buttons is when you go to a drive-through and there's no cars in front of you and you've paid and everything, can you go to the next window and wait for your meal? Why are we going to the next window to wait for our meal? You just want your timer to look good.
Oh, I like that. Stay on the line.
What about when you go through and they say you've got to wait in the waiting bay because they've got no fries ready? What, you got no fries? What are McDonald's doing?
But then
the
you get fresh fries, though, which
is... Yeah, but they should always be ready. What are they doing?
Well, I didn't realise when we count this one that it'd be
oh,
right.
He's angry.
In Hughie's sweet spot.
He's been baking. One more. Jenny from Keylor has phoned up as well.
Hello, Hughie. Jen.
Hi, how are you guys?
What's pushing right. your button?
It's when you're in merging traffic and you've been waiting there for ages and then someone comes down from the back of the pack on the inside and yep. expects to let you meant to let them in.
Yep, I know. And then they crack it when you don't let them in.
Exactly.
Trying to jump 20 cars in the queue.
Yeah, I am that person.
You are. I'm like, come on. Let Hughie in. Come on, wave.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host and Carlton tragic, Dave Hughes.
What is your favourite memory?
95, mate. You were there.
Oh. It's gone straight to 95.
For more memorable Rush Hour moments, download the Listener app to hear us wherever you are and whenever you want.
What a treat this is. We are joined by the AFL's Executive General Manager, Laura Kane.
As the General Manager of Footy at the AFL, our next guest is in charge of the future of the game. But we're not sure this idea will get approval from at least 17 presidents.
Well, I just think that Carlton should automatically just play finals, yeah? So they've got to. I mean, it's been great for the competition, the Carlton's resurgence, and we don't deserve to be eighth.
Please welcome Laura Kane.
Well, how do you see that, Laura, straight off the top? Just an automatic finals berth for the Blues.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about it.
But come on, Laura. Since you've taken over, the Blues have come good, really. And are we getting record attendances for the league every single round now?
Pretty much. Three rounds of 400,000 or more people. We've only ever had it happen once ever before this year, and we've had three rounds already with that number.
It's crazy because people talk about cost of living and everyone is, you know, the belts are being tightened, but everyone's going to the footy, aren't they?
They're finding room for it. No, I mean, it's not lost on us.
Yeah.
We try and keep pies cheap and water cheap and tickets the same price.
You know what, my brother is the tightest man in Australia. It makes me wee outside when I go to his house because I don't want to waste the water. We went to the Marvel Stadium on Sunday night and he was raving about how cheap the hot dogs were. Yeah. He was shocked.
You should go to Amazon, just walk out. Have you been there at Marvel?
No.
Scan your credit card, take whatever you want, and AI will charge you whatever you walk out with.
So serious?
We even tested it, tried to put things in our pockets. They got us.
Can we go back to your origins of you? You started at North Melbourne in footy. This man, JB, was your president for a year. Was he like Kim Jong-un? Or what sort of president was he? He wore shorts. Yeah,
pretty casual.
I used to wear shorts a lot.
But he cared.
I used to go and get my gym session in before the meetings. So then I'd walk in with shorts.
On the Alter G.
Was there any board meeting ever saying that the president shouldn't wear shorts?
No, I'm not just saying that because I'm here. He was terrific. He cares about that football club more than most. And I loved the first year at North. I loved every year at North, actually, but it was great to work with JB.
No, you're a star, and it was a sad day for me when I heard you were leaving, even though I knew it was inevitable, given your skill set, you were going to grow and go into this amazing. But even this role, you must pinch yourself a bit because you're now the head of footy for the whole competition.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly not what I planned. Sometimes when I'm in the supermarket and someone says, can you sort out the umpiring, I look past me to see who they're talking to and then realise it's me. But it's a privilege. And it sounds cliche, but it is. I grew up playing footy. I played Auskick. I played junior footy. My whole family love it. I love it. And now I get to talk about footy and watch footy every single day for a living. So I am very grateful for that.
What about concussion? We've just seen Libba. Now a number of concussions have seen him out of the game. How close are we to knowing more about how many is too many?
I mean, player health and safety is our priority. It always has been. We've changed more than 30 rules at the same time the game has gotten better. So I'll often get feedback around the fabric of the game or the quality of the game. But I think the football's the best it's ever been right now. And we've made all of those changes, including a number of changes over the summer. We are deep into research, and that is where it all starts, medical research. Our brain health initiative is an extraordinary project, but we need time. We need time to make sure that we're gathering all the right information and we're doing and changing things as we learn more. And that's what we're doing and we've been committed to doing for the many years.
Why is there unease with the coaches around the sub rule? What's their issue with it?
I think they like flexibility. I think they like being able to play two talls and have them both on the bench and not impact their ruck rotation, to be honest. To have a tall at each end of the ground and a ruck and have the luxury of that flexibility, I think would be appealing to me if I was a senior coach. We've had that discussion for a couple of years now. We made the change last year to remove the medical sub or the medi sub element and make it a tactical sub. Yep. So I think the question now is, go back to four, go to five, or keep the sub as is.
On the subject of coaches, you said you speak to them every day. Is there a couple of coaches in particular who ring you a lot, or do they all ring you? We don't have to name names.
There's a few that have saved me in their favourites.
All right. So do you ever see their name and just let it ring out? Or?
No, not often. I always answer. Depends what's happened. Depends if I'm ready to talk to them.
A mid-season trade period. Do you see that coming?
I'm not sure. I mean, we've got appetite for it. I like the concept. I think
player for player, I like. I don't
it has to
I
work.
Don't want picks being traded mid-year because that can be knee-jerk. But if you've got a player on a list that you go, well, I want Laura Kane and Dave Hughes works for us, then would that work?
I mean, maybe, but I also think we have a unique situation of having 10 teams in one state and two in, you know, four others. That's hard. That's an inequity that we would have to guard against. It's much easier to drive from Icon Park to Arden Street. Yep. Historically, not often, but let's just say a free agent wanted to. Yep. But that's much easier. You don't have to move house. You don't have to move schools for children. Partners don't have to change jobs. It's very difficult to move from Victoria to Queensland in the middle of a season. So that part, if we can guard against that, maybe, but we're working on it.
Can I ask about the grand final? Obviously, the Twilight games on Saturdays are working their asses off. Is that fair to say? Yep. They're really the ratings for Twilight, that 4 o'clock start on a Saturday and the crowd
Sunday
numbers.
Sunday as well, yep.
That's huge. How close to Twilight grand final are we?
We get asked this question all the time.
I know, but it feels like it's getting closer.
Dill says he likes day grand finals, so I might not go against the grain and say whatever Andrew Dillon thinks of.
There's still someone in.
You're doing a great job. It's always great to see you. And
calm.
Oh, no, she's a star. That's what. Anytime you want to drop in and chat to us on the Rush Hour, Laura Kane, you are very welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes comedy superstar and the very famous Dave Hughes.
Had a couple of people recognise me. I should take a photo if you like.
See Hughesy and JB for yourself by following Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram.
Well, now, Hughesy, what we all know is that you do radio in Sydney.
Yes, in the mornings. Yeah.
So that's, I'm not saying it's working with one arm tied behind your back because obviously, you know, what you're producing is genius, but you're not able to talk about Melbourne stuff.
Well, yeah, and the fact is my family are heavily committed to the Melbourne basketball scene, JB, as many other families in Melbourne are.
You know, I love basketball. Before I get your take on what happened on the weekend, my wife's son played a couple of seasons of basketball.
Yeah.
And the thing, and this is when he was a lot younger, and the thing I loved about it was you literally turned up 5 minutes before the game started. They all start on time.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the game finishes, you're in your car. And driving home.
Absolutely.
Whereas when your kids play footy,
it's all day.
The game finishes and then they have a post-match meeting, players only. That goes for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Then the parents are invited in and then there's more chatting about what just happened.
It's 4 or 5 hours.
It is. Commitment.
Basketball is less than an hour. You're in and out. Under an hour. Yep. It's always indoors.
Yes.
Never have to worry about the rain. You never have to worry about the frost on the grass at like 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning when you're playing. So it's always generally later in the morning or early afternoon We love it. There's families all over Melbourne just doing it, and that's all good. Just got one issue with the look. Friday night we're out. No, I don't want to say where we're. Well, I'll tell you where we're at Waverley on Friday night. Waverley. So I've sacrificed the Carlton Collingwood game.
You did.
To watch my son's game, and the one of the referees decided the travel.
I
don't get it either, mate. But no other referee's ever worried about it.
Yeah.
But this guy decided he wanted to increase his frequent fly points or something, get himself to Bali. He called travel on our team about 20 times. We, at one point, my son had driven in for a two pointer.
Yep.
And he got him a double dribble. I don't know what's a double dribble. I'm looking around at the other dads mainly on the bench. And I said, I've got to say something because this ref was coming past us a lot. We was right on our sideline. I said, I just want to say something. And this dad said, what do you want to say? I just want to say, can we be consistent?
Yes.
And this other dad said, don't say it.
Ooh.
He gagged me from saying it. He said, don't say anything. You will get in trouble. So I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I let this guy... And look, he wasn't like a kid. I reckon he was at least 19.
Yeah.
I let him.
You know, he's actually scoping him.
I let him get away with it.
Yeah.
I wanted to come up to him afterwards, but I didn't.
Right.
So it's just.
So you're the better man.
Oh, God, it hurt me though. Really hurt me. Because I think it's okay occasionally to give a referee or an umpire some advice, isn't it, on how they can operate, on how going forward.
Yep.
I wanted to clarify the situation. Mate, I've been watching basketball, my son play basketball for probably 10 years now. This has never happened before.
Never happened, the double dribble.
Why tonight? No double dribble, no travel.
And it was a big game too, wasn't it?
Like, well, he's going away for a month, so it was a big game.
Yep.
You know, when you go away for a month, you want your son's last game to be a winning game.
Yep.
And they won by a point, so it worked out. But still, it was so close, man. So close. Are you a dad who would you have a go? At
no, that? No, I don't.
Ever?
No, I don't. I did notice Dakes, though, in the rooms afterwards. He was flying into the umps. I'm looking at him going, Dakes, you won.
Were you telling
me? Umpiring's only an issue if you don't win. If you do win, you have to worry about it.
Oh, I couldn't watch it once the result happened, mate. So he was complaining about the umpiring.
Let's have a listen.
Oh.
Boy, we better just Dakes.
The umpiring, don't even.
No, the umpiring. No, it was all good tonight.
Was it?
Jeez, it was a great game, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, it was a cracking game. It was they were against it, and mate, they pulled it out. There was a lot of heart there, and that's what you're looking for. Don't worry about having the time to be able to chip out and do the easy stuff, mate. They nailed down and away they went. That was a great win. Absolutely sensational win.
You know, my favourite of all the groups that support footy when it comes to umpiring are the Port Adelaide fans in Adelaide.
Yeah, right.
We did a game earlier this year. We're only 8 rounds in. Mm. I don't know which it was, like round 3 or something like that. The free kick count was 21-6 and they're still whinging. I'm looking at it going, you've had 17 more free kicks.
Nah, come on. They're a little bit similar to Collingwood fans, to be honest. Dave sounded like the only time he watched the game was to watch his son kick the winning goal. Was the rest of the time spent at the bar, Dakes?
Every time they showed him on screen, he had a beer in his hand.
Only as he should.
Billy Brownless has gone AWOL.
I nearly had enough.
Don't worry, we have too.
So we've brought in a comedy icon to replace him.
It's great to be with you two legends.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and Dave Hughes. The only thing better than two mates at a Sunday session is three mates at a Sunday session.
We could be the three best friends that anyone could have.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB, Billy and special guest host Dave Hughes.
I feel good!
Hughesy, have you heard Bill's Hump Day quiz before?
Mate, I have, and JB, look, he's no Tony Barber or even Glenn Ridge.
Well, we are putting you in charge of that same quiz very soon. We'll see if you can clear what is a very low bar.
Plus, Collingwood superstar, Steel Sidebottom, not easy to say, even if you're not Bill. He's going to join us live in the studio, and I'm going to tell you a joke about my boss.
And next, a man who reached 300 AFL games yesterday, GWS Tough Nut and the cement head himself, Callum Ward.
Don't go too far away. There's plenty more of the Rush Hour Sunday Session with JB, Billy and Husey still to come.
I feel good!
We are joined by GWS giant legend, Cal Ward.
Under pressure, drops it. Advantage here for Kelly to go over the top to Ward, who can set sail from 51 metres out. And the crowd lets you know he hit it flush.
Ward, a flying shot of goal from Cal Ward. Has it got the lead?
Inside Callum Ward. This will be an amazing team goal. What a goal.
Oh, I don't think there's a more universally loved and respected footballer in the comp than Cal Ward, and he has been a star to the tune of 299 games, and on the weekend he brings up the 300th. Wardy, welcome to you, mate, and congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
You've been that bloody hard at the footy. I'll put my hand up and say I didn't think you'd get to 300 because I thought you'd do too much damage to yourself.
I didn't think I'd get there either, to be honest. It's come around quite quickly, actually. When I got to the 250, I thought there's no way I could get to 300, so I'm quite pleased that I've got there.
Yeah, you haven't shirked a contest in all of that time, and you're an original giant, mate. Who is left from the original giants? Is it you and Lockie Whitfield? Is there anyone else left from the originals?
Nah, Lockie was a bit later.
Was he later?
Was he third year? Stephen Canelio, Nick Haynes, Adam Kennedy.
Yeah.
And Toby Green. So there's five of them.
Oh, God. All right. Sorry. Yeah. All right. So that's a number of them. I was completely wrong. Then.
It's not that many.
No, but some guns. That was a pretty good, starting list, wasn't it?
Ridiculous. Really good. Hey, Wardy, what about the club, mate? When it kicked off, everyone said this is a stupid idea. You're going out to bloody, you know what, nowhere in the west of Sydney, and who the hell thinks this is going to work? It's been an extraordinary success story.
Yeah. Well, we haven't won a premiership, so not really success yet. But at the same time, we feel like we're building. We've played in a lot of final series. We've won finals games, but we just haven't got that ultimate premiership. But in terms of like the football club and the journey I've been on, it's been something that I've really enjoyed. And I still feel like we're on a really good path towards success. And hopefully we can get that premiership in the next few years or so.
Oh, no hopefully doubt. But, mate, don't get too hard on that stat. If you're a St Kilda fan, you've been in the comp for 100 years. You only ever won one. So they're not easy to win, Wardy.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I've definitely realised that. But, the main reason I came to the Giants was to play in premierships, and I haven't achieved that yet, so hopefully I can add that.
Mate, can we go back to the start with Sheeds, Kevin Sheedy? What was it like having Sheeds as your coach? Was he pretty wacky back then, or how was he?
Well, that's probably a good word for him. He was, in terms of footy brain, he's so intellectual with football, and his mouth, for the game, and, the way it should be played was amazing. It was very funny the way he went about it. Like, through a game, he had about 1,001 things up on the whiteboard. Nobody could understand a single thing of it. but the way he went about it, like, he was very inspiring. I was a huge Essendon supporter growing up, so I always loved him as a kid as well. To be coached by him was pretty special.
Would he hang around and drink with the boys? I remember doing before the game back in the day, JB, yep. And when Kevin Sheedy would come in, he would be the last one to leave afterwards on a Saturday night. So would he ever drink with the boys?
Oh, yeah. We'd always go back to the Palace Hotel, which was in Concord, just right next to where we lived in Breakfast Point when we first started. And the Palace Hotel had a tab there as well, as he'd just drink the wines and bet all night with the boys. That was just fun back in the day.
Mate, Sydney, are you, when your career finishes, will you get out of Sydney as quick as you can, or are you ensconced in that town?
Oh, you know what? I do love Sydney, but my wife and I are both from Melbourne. So, we have a few kids now, and all of our families and friends are back in Melbourne. So they're really looking forward to us spending some more time in Melbourne. So definitely after I stop playing, we'll be moving back to Melbourne.
Whereabouts in Sydney are you?
I'm in, not in the west. I'm in North Bondi at the moment.
Oh, so mate. You're doing it tough, Wardy.
So you're going to go back to Spotswood, are you, or not? What do you reckon?
Maybe. I'm not sure yet. I've got to work all that out.
Did you buy a house in North Bondi?
I did, yeah.
Nice, mate. He's rich. Doesn't have to do anything.
Never have to work again. I've got a question for you, Callum Ward. There's a club that's pretty close to my heart that's not going as well as I'd like him to be. Have you got another season? Can you give us 1 year of just getting down to Arden Street and straightening a few up?
I don't know. At the moment, I'm really not sure. The thing is, I'm really enjoying my footy still. My body's really good. So, we'll see where that takes me. So if you can speak to the hierarchy of North, maybe you can
Got a lot of salary cap room.
He'll have a retirement year.
Hey, Cal, as I said at the start, I can't think of a more universally enjoyed footballer across all of the 18 clubs than yourself. You've been an absolute jet. 300 games. Enjoy every bit of the game on the weekend.
I really appreciate that, boys. Thank you very much.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host Dave Hughes.
I'm wearing pants, which is, obviously I'm overdressed for this.
Wow.
You guys are so relaxed.
Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and X at Triple M Rush Hour. Live from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dave Hughes.
Here we go. I'm going to introduce the guests and then you're going to get stuck in as the quiz master. Bryce is there in Smith's Gully. Bryce.
Hey, who's he, JV? What's going on?
Where the hell's Smith's Gully?
Out past Hurstbridge, northeast.
Oh, righto.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. So.
Me either. Essendon fan?
Yeah, the Bombers, mate, up and about.
No, he's fired right up, isn't he?
And what do you do for a living, Bryce? Look.
Chippy.
Oh, so you're busy.
Yeah, flat out, mate.
All right. Jaden Lilydale. Hello, Jado.
How are we, boys?
Great. You're a chippy as well.
I am a chippy as well.
And who do you support, please, Jaden?
Saints, mate.
All right. So you're happy, not happy? Where are you at with them?
In between, I think.
All right. Now, Husey.
Yeah.
Take over. 5 questions. You need to scream out your name when you know the answer. And I am in control of who I hear first. All right. Here we go.
Here we go. Question 1. Which team is currently sitting on top of the AFL ladder?
Bryce. Jaden.
Bryce.
Sydney.
Sydney Swans is correct.
He's off and running. Come on, Jaden. Let's go. Name the Giant playing his 300th game this weekend.
Bryce.
Come on. Yep.
Can Lily know?
No.
No. So, Jado.
I don't know who that is.
You got a,
Coniglio.
You got a free hit. I'll give you a clue. He played for the Western Bulldogs prior to the Giants.
He's on our show yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Mm. Come on.
Oh, shit.
Goes by the nickname Cementhead, although I'm not sure he likes it.
Nah, shit out of luck, boys.
Oh, really?
Righto. 1-0.
Cal Ward.
Cal Ward, the legend.
Cal Ward.
One of our favourites.
Let's go off footy for a second. Right. Which famous playwright wrote Romeo and Juliet, Macbeth and Hamlet?
Jaden.
Yes, Jaden?
Shakespeare.
Oh, a man of letters. I like it. All right, 1-1.
We're 1-1.
Good.
All right, this
not
is all right.
Not quite a ring-a-ding-ding, no. But we're heading towards this.
John Deere tractors are predominantly what colour?
Jaden.
Oh, now, where are we headed?
I thought it was Bryce.
You're all right, Bryce.
I think it was.
Green.
He's done it. That's 2-1, yeah?
That's 2-1. We need to get our singing one away, probably.
Yep. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let's do that now. All right. Eurovision is this weekend. ABBA famously won the singing competition with their hit song Waterloo. You're going to hear the song and then you have to sing the next line. That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Now, boys, you need to do this properly, all right? You need to give it everything you got. Brycey, you're first.
Waterloo. I'm going to be in Waterloo. Waterloo.
He sounds like he's dancing at the same time, doesn't he? I think he's doing a bit
not
of a
not bad,
jig,
Brycey, yeah. Not bad. But, Jaden, I can see you maybe narrowing the gap here. Here we go.
Waterloo. Don't you love me forevermore?
They both had their own versions.
Probably not in their hitting zone, but
it's a bit of a race to the bottom, this one. Jaden, I am giving it to you. So it's 2 apiece.
It's 2 apiece. This is for the win. How many goals did the Melbourne Mavericks win their first Super Netball game by on the weekend?
Jaden.
Yes, Jaden?
7.
Bracelet?
4.
Is it a nearest to the pin? What are we doing here?
Said it was close. 7's not close, is it? Said it was close. What do you reckon? Both of them?
Yep.
Are we going to have a draw?
No.
Right, well, so maybe we go with the victory.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. This is the next one. This is it. All right.
All right.
Melbourne Victory are facing off against who for a place in the A-League Grand Final? They're from overseas.
Yeah.
They're from overseas. Jaden.
Yes, Jaden.
New Zealand someone.
Chrysler.
Manchester.
Oh, come on. Come on. All right, we're going to have to take the nearest the pin with the Melbourne Mavericks, and that was Bryce from memory. He said four. It was actually a one-goal win for the Mavericks. So he was closer than Jaden. So, Bryce, you are winning.
One of those answers reminded me of my wife. She did a test to become a journalist at the Herald Sun, yeah. And one of the questions she was asked was, who won the Bledisloe Cup? Mm. And she said Manchester United. Still got the job.
I like it. Yeah.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes special guest host and Carlton tragic, Dave Hughes.
What is your favourite memory?
95, mate. You were there.
It's gone straight to 95.
For more memorable Rush Hour moments, download the Listener app to hear us wherever you are and whenever you want.
Right now, we are joined by two-time Collingwood Premiership hero, Steel Sidebottom.
Picked off by Sidebottom. Sidebottom!
Oh, no.
Brilliant! Sidebottom closes. Sidebottom gets it. The Pies are irrepressible. It's going to take absolutely everything Steel Sidebottom has got. Hits 50. Drives it. Sidebottom. Oh. Sidebottom drives it! And he bangs it home! Tidy. That set shot from outside 50 in the grand final, as I'm, because I was calling it, I turned to Hodgie and he just went, no. He said he's too old to jail it from there. That was as well flushed as any ball I reckon you've ever kicked.
Yeah, ever. It's funny, like even looking back on the way I kicked that footy, like you could watch me 100 times tomorrow and I would not kick the ball the way I sort of kicked it off my right and then I landed back on my right foot.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this. Like when you hit someone, it doesn't feel like you've hit them straight off the foot. Bad.
Did you know straight away? Did you?
I had a fair idea because usually, has a little bit of left to right. And there was a nice little tail breeze behind me, and just put it up there and let it do its thing. And
it was extraordinary,
unbelievable.
It was premiership winning. It's a guy who's been at a club for how long?
16th year. This one.
And it's such a long gap with 2010, obviously. You were a kid. Well, you were a teenager, weren't you?
Yeah, I was 19 in 2010, yeah.
So blood, sweat and tears over 14, 15 years and for that moment to come. Wow.
Yeah, big wow, to be honest. And I still, listening to that little intro there still gives me goosebumps. I love it. And I still love playing footy now. I'm 33 years old and, I'll just keep playing until I fall over, basically. Mate.
Now, how's the body? What are you, 33?
33
You've
now.
You've covered more Ks, though, than nearly any 33-year-old that's ever played the game. So the knees and ankles and feet and everything all right?
I had a little bit of foot trouble towards the end of last year since sort of got on top of that. But there's no doubt that I do get sore knees and feet and things like that. I've been rested. I've been subbed this year. So potentially that's a path forward for me to be able to get a few more games under my belt. But
what's that like? So you've been the sub or been subbed off? Or
no, I was a sub against the Hawks.
So what's it feel like when you're like, for you, like a champion who just sit there and you can't get out there? Are you praying for injury or what are you doing when you're the sub?
I'm not praying for injury, no. But it was good for me to have a different perspective on it, really.
Did you hope just to get on in the second half so you could have a rest?
I was hoping to get on. I mean, you don't want anyone to get injured, but I wanted to be out there. There's no doubt. Everyone on the list wants to be playing.
Yeah, of course.
But it was nice just to sort of sit back and even watch how Fly sort of handles himself on the bench, see how guys are reacting on and off the ground. As much as I didn't really enjoy it, it was nice to sort of see it in a bit of a different lens.
How much game time did you see that day?
Well, Pendles, Geordie put two blokes in hospital that day. He got Geordie and then, Tommy Mitchell, and then Pendles got subbed off at halftime with his
ribs. Okay, so he played a half.
I played a second.
Yeah, so you and Pendles swapped.
Yes,
yeah, wow. Did you feel much fitter and that you started in the second half? Did you feel like you had an advantage at all?
Not really, no.
No, really? No,
probably the other way. I think it's nice to be out there and get a feel for the game
early.
Um, And yeah, I felt like I was just sitting around waiting for my opportunity and potentially burning a little bit of energy doing that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How was the start for you? Because you had reigning premiers, slow start. You had less time to prepare for the season than everyone else, which is one of the joys, I guess, of being the reigning premier. Yep. Those first 3 weeks, how did they sit with someone who's played as much footy as you?
Personally for me, I feel like potentially I was underdone a little bit. A few of the older guys didn't come back until after Christmas.
Did you enjoy yourself more because you'd won the premiership? Did you
eat? I always enjoy myself.
Yeah, right.
Always enjoy myself. But yeah, I felt like potentially I was a little bit off the mark, and it probably showed in some of my performances. You know, I like to pride myself on, you know, hitting targets and things like that, and I was a little bit fumbly. So potentially going forward, you know, maybe coming back before Christmas and having a little bit of a break over Christmas might be better off. But I certainly felt that I was off the mark a little bit. But the last sort of 3 weeks, I felt like I've been able to, you know, find my feet a little.
Now, how wasn't Pendles deliberately out of bounds, by the way? You've seen a lot of football. You've played a lot of football. How the hell is that not a man trying to kick the ball to touch him?
I think the umpires do a terrific job.
Can they do it again? Can
slightly,
they
slightly different colour stripe, but not far away from Collingwood, West Melbourne. And you get to play under the great Alistair Clarkson, who's a four-time premiership coach.
You could do a negotiation now. I think JB's still got a fair bit of pull there. How much would you need for like a three-year deal just assistant
just move into development coaching or something?
$2 million or not more?
Oh, $2 million, I'll be there for sure.
$2 million, mate.
Triple M's Rush Hour welcomes comedy superstar and the very famous Dave Hughes.
Had a couple of people recognise me. I should take a photo if you like.
See Hughesy and JB for yourself by following Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram.
I think you've got some big news, Dave Hughes.
Well, I thought it was going to be the whole rappy, but all right, yes.
Go on.
Finally, the cat is out of the bag, the big cat. Billy Brownless is in the Amazing Race Australia.
Oh, my God.
Celebrity edition.
That news has started the alarm again.
He's going to be on with his son, Oscar. They're right now in Buenos Aires, believe.
Right, okay.
That's what reports are saying. He'll be a bit flat because the media alert from Channel 10 says... Thorpey and Nat Bass, Matilda's Chloe and Emily, and Pete Hallier join the Amazing Race Australia. So he hasn't made the headline
the first para.
No, but he's one of the biggest stars there because some of them I've got no idea.
Well, those ones you just read then are all ahead of Bill.
They are.
So that's fair enough. They're the headline grabbers.
Yeah, we've got Jet Kenny. That's Grant's son. He's on. Luke McGregor, very funny man's on with his mum. He's a friend of mine. I know those two. We've got Cyril Paul and Eden Daly. I don't know who they are.
Cyril, I think, from Maths, maybe?
Is that right? Okay. All right. Havana Brown. She's a...
DJ.
I've heard that name.
Yep.
Brooke McClimont. I think she's the country singer. So she's on. Yep. And Bam Bam Tuivasa.
Oh, Shuey Vasa. He's a UFC fighter.
Yeah. So that's your list. There's others that I won't name because you won't know who they are. But it's a pretty strong list.
I love, this is among many things you've brought to this show, Huey, because you work on the Today Network, on the other side of the network, you've got so much more awareness of stuff. But Bill and I, if you ran that list down, Bill and I, without you being here, honestly, 9 of the 10, we'd go, I'd never heard of her, never heard of him. But you're across this stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? I've got some inside information on the Amazing Race, which I'm going to spill with you. There's someone I know who was offered the Amazing Race. I won't say who it was, but you know why they rejected it?
Why?
Money was too low, but Billy did not reject it.
It was good enough for fat.
You're basically doing it for per diems, I think. He's doing it for food.
What
the hell? He's
doing
it for food and a trip. He's doing it for the frequent flyers.
He is. Well, we get stuck into this.
How's he
going
to go, though?
He'd be no good. Oscar will have to carry every bit of his fat guts the whole way around. He'll
he
be
can't
hopeless.
Run at all, can he?
Can't run, can't organise anything, wouldn't know how to get a boarding pass, wouldn't know how to get a...
Geography's not great.
But you literally...
Visa, nothing.
You've got to be able to run. I've seen a few episodes, and it just reminds me of Current Affair, of a camera chasing a dodgy tradie down the street. He's just going to be walking.
No,
he's
going to be back quick. I don't know how he does it.
He'll be back quick.
Well, that's why he's not here. He's off filming the Amazing Race.
Billy Brownless has gone AWOL.
I nearly had enough.
I know. So don't worry, we have too.
So we've brought in a comedy icon to replace him.
It's great to be with you two legends.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and Dave Hughes. Since he's a comedian by trade, at last we might get a good joke.
Finally! Some professionalism, some humour.
On Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session, this is Hughesy's Joke.
All right, here we go. Whew, I hope Bill hasn't done this one. Here we go. My boss arrived at work in a brand new Lamborghini. Oh. I said, wow, that's an amazing car. He replied, if you work hard, put all your hours in and strive for excellence, I'll get another one next year. Rich get richer, don't they?
Not just the telling, too. It's just the craft. It's I like it. I like it. There's craft now.
It's professionalism.
Well, Bill tells them and you just they're like a boring story because he doesn't. There's no inflection. There's no. Come on, fellas.
Yes.
This has been Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session with JB, Billy and special guest host Dave Hughes. And even though they're going, you can take them with you wherever you go. Download the Listener app and add Triple M's Rush Hour to your favourites.
I feel good!
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB, Billy and special guest host Dave Hughes. Thanks to Best Shed's biggest ever sale on Now.